Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for this morning as we gather in your name. May your Spirit illumine your words in our hearts and teach us how we may live before you. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Please be seated. It's good to see all of you. Some familiar faces again, which I was just talking to these last couple of days because we just came back from our Cathedral camp. Almost 350 of us were gathered. You know, I was really challenged by the thought-provoking sermons, the meaningful little exercises that we did there along this theme of one family, one church, one voice. You know, the previous week in the run-up, we were actually looking at this chapter, these verses in chapter 8 that was also along this theme when he spoke about the fact that we have a relationship, that we are children of God. And secondly, that we have an inheritance, that we are heirs with Christ. And thirdly, that we are a family, that we are brothers and sisters, who together we are able to call God Abba, Father. Today, as we continue in chapter 8, Paul goes on to talk in this later chapter about the future glory that awaits us and exhorts us to persevere in this hope of glory with the help of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, I did a little tweak to the sermon title this morning to the Holy Spirit and our future destiny. Because I think that's what this passage here is pointing us towards. Now, I wonder how many of us had moments when we sat back and wondered why we are doing what we are doing as a church. Why we are doing what we are doing as a Christian. You know, especially when we face difficulties and persecutions, we may sit back and wonder, is it all worth it? We may be tempted to give up. Perhaps you are sitting there as a new Christian and struggling with the many things that you are not able to do now as a Christian, or that you are not supposed to do now as a Christian. Or perhaps you may be serving in many, many ministries across church that take up a lot of your time in the weekends and sometimes even your weekdays. And you are tempted to stop serving so that you can relax and enjoy life like many of your contemporaries and peers. Or perhaps you may find it tough going to live this Christian life with the many spiritual disciplines that are required of us that takes us out of our comfort zones. And you feel like giving up and you're asking yourself, are all these sacrifices worth it? You are feeling like this morning. Consider the words of Paul in verse 18 that says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." He says that the glory that is to come far outweighs whatever you are going through in this present time and will make it worthwhile. Now, this is the Paul that we learn from 2 Corinthians 12, who had gone through 5 times the 39 lashes of whip. 3 times being beaten by rods. He was stoned, shipwrecked and adrift at sea, had sleepless nights, experienced hunger and thirst, was out in the cold and exposure. Yet, after going through all this, he was able to say these words, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." What is this glory that is to be revealed to us? How does he know? Well, God had already revealed this to Paul through visions and revelations given to him. He wrote that he was caught up to the third heavens, he calls it, and he had been given the revelation of what this future glory will be like. You know, and someone once said, the present and the visible can be fully understood only in the light of the future and the invisible. You see, it's only when we know what our future destiny and outcome is that we are able to make sense of what we are going through in the here and now. And so the first things that we want to nail down today with regards to our future is to have that assurance that we have a sure and steadfast hope. Paul writes, "For in this hope we were saved." Now, hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? And so this hope of salvation is one that is future and unseen. This hope is written about also in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, where it is the sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. Now, interestingly, the early Christians had picked up on this imagery of the hope of Christ as the anchor for the soul, and had used this symbol of the anchor as an indication of their faith. Many of us are familiar with the Kairos symbol that we see and that we use a lot today. These are the first two Greek letters of the word for Christ. And also the symbol of the fish, ichthus, right, in Greek, is actually fits in very nicely for the acronym of the phrase Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Savior. And so these two symbols have been variously used by Christians to indicate their faith. But what we also realized was that there was a third most common symbol that the early Christians had used to represent their faith. And it was the sign of the anchor. The sign of the anchor. And that was taken from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. And many such anchors were found inscribed in the catacombs in Rome, where the Christians were buried. And it's either the Kairos or the fish or the anchor that was inscribed. How can we be sure of this hope that we have? Paul is saying that it's because God has given us a guarantee of our redemption. We have the first fruits of the Spirit that's given to us, residing in us, speaking to us, stirring faith in us, and confirming in our hearts that we are secure in Christ. He also says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5, God has put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. It's the Holy Spirit that will confirm in your hearts, will stir up that desire in your heart to know God, to want to know God, to want to know His Word, to search His Word, and to walk in His ways. And the more you do that, the more you follow and obey that desire in your heart, that the Spirit stirs in your heart, the more sure and steadfast your hope in Christ will be. That's the first thing we want to nail down. Secondly, we need to persevere into the future until we are glorified. Persevere into the future until we are glorified. You know, often when we talk about glory, we always think about the glory of God, right? We sing about many songs about the glory of God too. And it is very clear that Paul here in Romans 8 is talking about glory, about the future glory. But is he talking about the future glory of God? Actually, no. Right? Because actually God is already fully glorified. God doesn't need to be further glorified in the future. He's always at the height of His glory. His glory has never been compromised. Verse 19 says, creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. That's you and I. That's you and I. And then verse 21 goes on to say, the glory of the children of God. So yes, it is our glorification that creation is waiting for. Those whom God predestined, He also called. Those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. It is the glorification of the saints of God that all creation is actually eagerly waiting and groaning for. You see, since the fall of mankind, creation has also been placed under the curse of sin to bear forth thorns and thistles. And so today's earth is a far cry from the earth that God had created it to be. And over the centuries, you know, mankind has not ruled and reigned over creation the way that God had called us to do. We have not done so responsibly, damaged the ecosystem and the habitats of the creatures that we were supposed to be looking after. And we have selfishly drained the earth of resources in a non-sustainable way, produced harmful gases and toxic wastes that has further damaged the earth and the environment. And that's why today we have this crisis in our hands, right? And a few months ago, according to NASA, you know, some parts of the earth will no longer be habitable by 2050 to 2070 because of the rising temperatures. And that will cause unprecedented food and economic consequences. You know, 2050 to 2070 is not very far away from us. It affects a lot of the countries nearer the equator, especially around the Red Sea region, and also, Africa, Northern Africa, Brazil in South Africa, and some states that were identified in North America that will not be habitable by 2050 to 2070. You can literally see and hear the earth groaning under the weight of what we have done against it. Each time you see the icebergs breaking and collapsing into the sea, and each time you see the forest just burning up itself, as has happened in Chile and now is happening in Canada and some parts of North America as well. And no wonder that the scriptures tell us that creation itself is waiting to be set free from its bondage to corruption. But the good news is this. The good news is that when the children of God are glorified, creation will also obtain this same freedom and be released from the bondage of the curse that has come upon it. When we are fully glorified, we will be able to then look after creation in the way that God has intended us to do. Until then, we want to continue to try our best to preserve this earth, to look after this earth, because God is watching us. And to some extent, maybe even testing us to see how we are living up to this calling that He has given us to rule and to reign over creation and to have dominion over His creatures. Not only is creation groaning under the weight of sin, but mankind is also groaning. Verse 23 says, "We ourselves groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies." And that's our final point. We need to persevere until our full adoption as sons of God. Now, some of you may be wondering, aren't we already sons of God? Aren't we already children of God? Why does Paul speak as if it hasn't happened yet? Now, we need to understand that salvation that God has planned for us is in phases. And what Christ has done for us on the cross has qualified us, has justified us, has made us righteous in God's sight already, so that we stand accepted before Him. But we are yet to be fully renewed. We have yet to fully walk in the destiny of what it means to be a child of God. We still carry around with us this body of sin, right? This fallen body that we struggle with daily. And we are still living in this fallen and cursed earth. And therefore, we have yet to fully operate at the level which God has created us to live and to be. Theologians describe this as the already but not yet. The already but not yet. In a sense, God's kingdom is already here, but it is not yet fully established. We are saved in Christ, but again, not yet fully saved. We are still living in the sin of this fallen world. We are redeemed by the Lord, but not yet fully redeemed. And so we need to learn during this time to live in this in-between space where many of God's promises may have come to pass and Jesus' work on the cross is done. But the full work of redemption of the world and of mankind, has not yet fully come to pass. It has started, but it has not yet been completed. And so in the light of this already and not yet understanding and of the teaching in Scripture, there's this side of the good news, that we want to see it as there will come a day when this body of death will pass away. And we will be given a glorified body, the same body that our Lord Jesus Christ now has after His resurrection. By that same resurrection power that had raised our Lord Jesus Christ, we too will be raised from the dead and will put on this transformed body that God has prepared for us. And it is with that we will be fully glorified, fully adopted as His sons, and able to come before His holy presence. And it will be with the Holy Spirit in us that will enable us to fully do His will perfectly. Once again, reigning and ruling over creation as God has created Adam and Eve to do together right in the very beginning. And if you are thinking that life with God in heaven will be just an extended worship service, you know, of processions and recessions, okay? No, you know, I think then you ain't seen nothing yet. It's going to be much more than that. As adopted children of God, heirs of God, as mentioned in Romans, there's something we receive from the Lord. There's so much that the Lord will be entrusting to us. And we're not talking about monetary rewards for us to just store up in a bank somewhere. But rather, I think God will be entrusting to our care cities and countries, and perhaps even planets and galaxies. Things that we are still only beginning to understand and grasp on this side of eternity. And these will be given for us to manage and to govern. When you think about it, that's really exciting, right? All I can say is this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, when Paul says, "Now we see but a dim reflection as in a mirror, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." This is something that we will need to wait in anticipation of when the day when Christ returns. The day when we will be fully glorified and experience the full redemption of our bodies and adoption as sons of God. And on that day, when we stand before God, hopefully this will be the words that we will hear from Him when He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, and I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." Until that day comes, there will be thorns and thistles in this world that we still need to contend with, even as we try to follow Christ fully. There will be many painful sacrifices that we still need to make, many difficulties we will still face on this earth, even as we try to follow His commandments. But Scripture tells us we are not left alone to struggle on our own. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit and also the all-powerful Father who is there to help us in our weakness and to make all things good. And so even as I bring this sermon to a close, when I was preparing this sermon, I just felt that there was a word from the Lord for us here in the cathedral. You know, I know these last few years have been really tough and difficult years, not just because of COVID challenges, but also because of the leadership changes that has happened here, caused by the unexpected postings of clergymen and deaconesses in and out of the cathedral. The closing of the nave, made worse by the closing of the nave for restoration works, resulting in space crunch, and making the resumption of various ministries so challenging and difficult. And it has resulted in many inconveniences that has affected many of us. And I hear that a lot in these last few months that I've come back to the cathedral. You know, as a result of all these things that have transpired, I think quite a few of us who have been serving actively over the years took a much needed break the last few years when activities were down and may have stepped down from various ministries. But yet there are others, a small group that's still holding the fort and still serving faithfully, and they are feeling very stretched and very tired. And I think the word for us today is to hang on and to persevere in serving the Lord, because He is in the midst of making all things good for all those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose. And so we must not give up doing what we are called to do here at the cathedral. We must persevere in building His kingdom here on earth, in this church that you are planted in this church that you are worshipping in, even as we hold on to this sure and secure hope that we have in Christ Jesus. And as we look forward to that day of our glorification and full adoption as sons and daughters of God. Today, would you choose to step up? And for some of us, perhaps to step back into ministry so that you can share the load of ministry with your brothers and sisters in Christ, so that God's work may be accomplished here in this church. Will you take the initiative to find out where there are needs in cathedral and to do your part to meet those needs? Would you choose to make that sacrifice of your time and the energy to serve in one of the ministries in the cathedral So at the end of the day, we may all enter into this future glory and may hear the words of our Savior and Master saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much." Let us pray. Father Lord, we thank you for your word and for what you have revealed to the Apostle Paul, that today we can look forward with great anticipation of the day where we will be fully glorified and the image of God will be fully established in us, and that we will be fully adopted as your sons and daughters. We look forward to that glorious day, Lord, where we will see you face to face and our faith will be rewarded. In the meanwhile, Lord, may you strengthen us. May your Holy Spirit continue to grant us your strength, that we may live this life in a way that honors you. That we may continue to serve you, so that your kingdom may be established here on earth as it is in heaven. The God who will be able to make all things good in his time. In Jesus' name, amen.